Well, it's finally almost here. The time of year when we set aside all inhibitions regarding food, at least I do, disregard any thoughts or concerns about diets, waistlines, and that sort of thing. It's the time of year when we traditionally take time to spend with our families and friends. Sometimes folks travel, they come together. A time when we are reminded to reflect and count our many blessings. A time when we are reminded to be thankful for all of the blessings that we have received. More often than not, people pay attention to the first part I mentioned, the copious amounts of food, the fellowship with friends and family, and don't reflect on how thankful they should be. How blessed have you been this year? How many wonderful blessings has God bestowed upon you? We have our families. We have our friends. We have some degree of health. We have wealth, much of which we do not recognize. We have success in various areas, particularly spiritually, if we have grown during the year. But why wait until this time of the year to give thanks? You know, there's a common occurrence in the Bible and something I want to bring to your attention. We see that it happened back in the Old Testament with Israel. We see that it happened still during the Old Testament, during the time of Jesus. And we will see that it also continues to happen today. It's a cycle that seems to reoccur. Here we have it. God blesses man. Man gives God the praise. Man begins to take God for granted and his blessings. Then he begins to forget and drift away from God. So God punishes, and then man repents. And then God blesses, and the cycle continues over and over again. As I said, we first see this with God's children, Israel. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, and we're going to go through these steps, and we're going to see how that God blessed Israel. We know what happened to Israel, that there was an intense famine that covered the world, and that Israel sent his sons to Egypt to buy food. The end result of that was that all of Israel, the nation, picked up and moved to Egypt. At the time the decision was made to send to Egypt to buy food, little did he know that his son was there, was in charge of the food, and had been truly blessed by God. And so this is what brought about the decision to go there, to remain there. And after 450 some years, God blessed Israel. He brought them out of captivity. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again, no more forever." This particular statement was made during the time when they had approached the waters. They could see that the Egyptians were coming upon them. They were seeking to come and to destroy them or to take them back into captivity. Notice what Moses brought to their attention. The blessing of God, that for which they should be thankful. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. We see that following this, they were able to go across on dry land, across the water which God held back with his power. And in Exodus chapter 15, verse 1, and also verses 11 through 18, we'll see that man praises God. They had received deliverance from the Red Sea. And we know what happened, how that the sea was opened. And Israel, all of them, went across on dry land. And then as their Egypt was pursuing them, the waters came back to where they were and destroyed them. In verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Let's look forward to verses 11 through 18. Where we see, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hath led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength into thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. And the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as stone till thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in thy place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. What words of gratitude! What glorious praises out of the mouth of these people who had been delivered are now being offered before God, because in their minds at that present moment, they remembered what God had just done for them, singing these great praises. We see a little time passes as you turn to Exodus chapter 32, and we're going to read in verse 4 how that in a short period of time, man began to forget God. In fact, as long as Moses was there reminding them, prodding them, telling them that God was the one that delivered them, they seemed to have some dedication toward God. But in 40 short days, when Moses went up onto the mountains, they said, We know not what has become of this Moses. We need gods. Aaron, Moses' brother, who was there with him before Pharaoh, who saw all the mighty wonders of God, said, hey, break off your earrings. Give me your bracelets and your necklaces. Give me all your gold. We'll see what we can do. It's interesting to me that when questioned about it later, Aaron said, we cast all the gold into the fire and see what came out. But let's notice what verse 4 says. And he, speaking of Aaron, received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. They forgot God. That's the way man does. They forgot God and all of the wonderful blessings that God had bestowed upon them. And so, as we look at Exodus 32, verse 26 beginning, we'll see that God punishes. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto them. Hold your finger there at verse 27. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, you know, if God is on my side, and I have started correcting people, we need to say, if we are on God's side. Because God is right. God is correct. But notice what he said here. Who is on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, let's do what the Lord says. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Notice, if you will, the punishment handed out by the Lord that day. This was not upon strangers in a foreign land or strangers from a foreign land who have come and decided to take their land. These were their brethren. These were their friends. These were those, listen, who had gone against the God of heaven. So God punished. All too often we see throughout the Bible, when God punishes, that man is awakened from his slumber. Man is awakened to the point that he says, hey, I need to do something here. And so he repents. And in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32, we see this. Yet now thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Now this is Moses talking to God. Notice how important this was. He was asking for the forgiveness of their sins, and if he would not give them their sins upon their own account, Moses said, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Moses was willing to give up his salvation for the good of those people. Man had repented, at least Moses had, on behalf of the people. The people made an attempt to repent. We will see as we continue to study Israel that time and time again, they entered into this vicious cycle. And then we see in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 19 that God blessed. How many of us, looking back on our lives, fail to see the blessings of God? And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God truly blessed Israel. They did not deserve it. They should not have received it. But God loved them, and so he blessed them. We move forward in history a number of years to Luke chapter 17. We find when Jesus was alive and here on the earth, doing the will of God, preparing the way of the kingdom, we have a situation showing that there were those who were thankful and there were those who were not. The question might be asked, where are the nine? Isn't that what Jesus asked? In Luke chapter 17, verse 11 beginning, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17 says, Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What we see here were 10 men who were requesting blessings from God. Remember what they had done. They cried with loud voices, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They realized, they understood, they knew that Jesus had the power to speak their bodies cleansed, to say to them, be healed. They begged for mercy. How many of us beg God for mercy in a time of need? All too often, I think that Christians fall into the trap of waiting to pray until there is an express need. They wait until there's some traumatic situation in their lives, a loved one who is injured, or they themselves find out that they have a medical problem. And then they go on to their knees. They spend time in prayer. But do they thank God for all the blessings throughout the rest of their lives? God, heal our child. God, please give me patience. God, make things work out for me. The focus, many times, is not on giving God thanks and expressing our gratitude to him for the things that he has done for us, but what can you do for me? These lepers, by the law, were isolated from others. They were only to be associating with other lepers. In Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, we see this. the commandment given to them, to those who had leprosy. The reason for this isolation was the fact that this stuff is very communicable. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering on his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. He did this so that others would not be affected or infected. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. And there was a place outside of the camp for anyone who was afflicted with leprosy. Also, as this leprosy ran its course, or as it began to get better, or whatever the case may be, they were told to show themselves unto the priest. And this also is according to the law. In Leviticus chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, we'll see what the Lord said to Moses regarding this. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, it shall be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy. Then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priests. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look upon him and pronounce him unclean. As it ran its course, and they went to the priest being protected by God, by the way, so that he did not contract this leprosy, could see that it was beginning to heal, and he could pronounce him also clean. But there was a ritual for cleansing lepers, and we find this in Leviticus chapter 14, especially in verses 11 and 12. We'll see what these people had to do and how the priests were to react in regard to it. And remember that this was part of the blessings that was being put upon Israel. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one lamb and offer him a trespass offering and a log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. There was a procedure to be followed that they might be cleansed, so that they might glorify God, so that they might raise their voices, as did this one man, and say, thank you. Jesus asked the question of the one, where are the nine? Were there not 10 cleansed? That's what we see in Luke 17. We're not told, but could it be that they didn't notice that they had been healed? I don't think so. Look at verse 14 of Luke 17. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed. We see the evidence here of the miraculous power of God in that day. When they saw that they were healed, they had truly been blessed. Maybe it is that they had done what the law commanded, but nothing else. You know, I think many Christians today pride themselves on doing just that which is commanded, just that is which required. Look at Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. These Jews, even this Samaritan that was with them, was doing as Jesus said, as was designed within the law. They were going to show themselves to the priest. They were following the law of God. Isn't that to be commended? Luke verse 17 and verse 10 says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. We don't know what that the nine didn't go directly to the priest, present themselves before the priest. It is quite possible, because Jesus told them to go to the priest, and if they went to the priest, they would be made clean, that they went to the priest and they were pronounced clean. But notice, they were doing which was their requirement. that which they were required to do. Could it possibly be that they were ungrateful for being healed? Perhaps today, if we were to find out that we had some dread disease, we became fervent in prayer. And through, not miracles, but through medical attention, perhaps the proper medical attention, perhaps our diligence at doing those things which we are told to do that would be good for the body, and of course the grace of God, we find ourselves cleansed of that illness. Would we not be grateful? I would. It would seem to be incredible to take such a blessing for granted. Put yourselves in the place of these lepers, crying out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." According to the law, they should have put their finger over their lip or a covering over the lip and cried, "Unclean, unclean," and the Lord would have separated himself from them. But he spoke them clean. Their health had been restored, and now they had a life to be lived with others. Truly a blessing from God. What about us today? Do we ask God for favors? Absolutely. Every one of us do. We want the Lord to bless us. We ask. Sometimes we ask improperly, and therefore we don't receive. But we all ask. We all seek, desire, and want the blessings from heaven to be poured out upon us. Could it be that we have not noticed that we have been blessed? I want the blessings that I want, when I want them, and how I want them. That's how a lot of people pray. We sometimes have difficulty recognizing blessings from God. Maybe we have done what the law has commanded and nothing else. You know, the Bible teaches that the church is to meet upon the first day of the week. Check. Got that box marked. I'm good to go. It says to pray. Well, let's see. I prayed last week. If you have to stop and think about it, come on, people. Listen, we are to do what the Bible says to do, and we're not to look at it to see how little we can do. Maybe we've just been ungrateful for blessings. We need to understand and realize that all good things come to God. We find this in James chapter 1 and verse 17. When something good happens, it is not from your effort and your effort alone. All too often, we tend to think, look what I have done. Look what I have been able to do. Look what I've been able to amass while here on this earth. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift, or every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Understand that every good thing that happens to us comes from God. Do we take our blessings for granted? If so, be careful. Remember the cycle. Because the next step for us is to begin to forget God. I have known people in the last 30 years that as long as things are going well, they're going along with it. They're great. They're wonderful. They don't ever darken the church door. But you let things turn south just a little bit, and they'll break it down if you're in the way to get in. Why? Because they want a blessing from God. Remember, if we take our blessings for granted, the next step in this cycle that we've seen time and time again is to forget God. This is followed by unfaithfulness. And unfaithfulness of any degree is because we forget God. But unlike the Israelites, we may very well not be punished in this life. I know of people who do not consider God, who do not think about God, some of whom who even say, I don't know if there is a God, who, according to the earth's standards, are doing quite well. They're wealthy. Some of them wealthy beyond compare. And we ask ourselves, how is it that those who just don't ever even think about God are always getting ahead? And then look at us. But know this, and know it well, that they have their reward. And if I remember correctly, the earth and the works therein shall be burned up. Their reward will be burned up. It is possible that even evil people will not be punished in this life. They may go to the grave, having received all the blessings that this world can offer. Notice the one leper who came back to express gratitude was a Samaritan. He was not even one of the children of God. He was not of the people of God. But understand this, he was grateful. He was grateful. He noticed the blessings and he turned and gave thanks. In Psalms chapter 103 verse 2, we see a reminder from the pen of the psalmist. We need to take the time to thank God for all of the wonderful things in this life, for all of the blessings, and we need to do it each and every day. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All too often our prayers are a little lopsided. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Oh yeah, by the way, thank you. That's the way a lot of prayers are presented. It needs to be, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and if there are any more blessings, I'll take a little of this, if it's your will. One of the greatest benefits God has provided for mankind is the opportunity for salvation from sin. It has been offered to everyone. So few take the Lord up on the offer. They cry, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. He says to them, you have my word. My word is truth, and the truth shall make you free. It can only be obtained in one way. It's the way in which God has offered it, through Christ, his Son. That is why Christ came. That is why Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. That is why he provided the blood sacrifice necessary for the cleansing of sin. And we can only be recipients if we are obedient to his commands. What are those? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so from the word of God we hear, and those things we hear causes us to believe. In Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, those people who had heard, those people who believed, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're also told in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that we must confess that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then we're to be baptized. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 tells us, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience before God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many fall into the trap of thinking that that's all that they have to do. We need to be thankful of the blessings that God has given us, but we need to take care of those blessings. Part of taking care of our soul is doing what he said to do, and that is to remain faithful unto death. The latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Do you want it? It's part of the blessing of God, and it can be yours, and it can be yours today. What you need to do is submit to the gospel. Be obedient and be baptized for the remission of sins. Perhaps there are those here among us who have allowed sin to enter into their lives and in so doing have separated themselves from God, neglecting the blessings of God. Well, God has not forsaken you. He's offered a plan whereby you can determine to reestablish that relationship through repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 tells us, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." It is indeed a time to be thankful. Let's remember all of the blessings of God. If you need to respond to the gospel invitation, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.